Welcome to the Simple Money, Simple Life podcast. I am Matt Erickson, and I'm your host. This is a podcast where we explore how simplicity beats complexity, especially in money matters. We explore investing, personal finance, and how to live a simple and awesome life. Hey everybody, welcome to episode 57 titled, Are You Living Beyond Your Means? It's good to be bringing you another episode. So as you probably realized, I skipped a week. First week, I have skipped doing an episode in the year that I've been doing this. And as I said on a previous podcast, that might happen sometimes, as currently I'm not trying to monetize this podcast, so it's more of a hobby. So once in a while, there will be times where I don't drop an episode. Hopefully, I'll be able to most weeks. I had a lot going on in my life and in my job and considering different options for my life. And so I've just had a lot going on and didn't quite have the time or mental bandwidth to put an episode together. But I'm excited to bring you one today and hope this finds you all doing great. Just want to thank all of you for your support and for listening. And for taking the time to, for those of you who have left a review, that's very appreciated. We still haven't gotten to the 50 mark yet. And once we do, I will give away that gift card. Hopefully we'll get there soon. So today's topic about living beyond your means is something that's basic, but something that I think applies to all of us, no matter what income we're making. Some of you might be aware of famous athletes like Mike Tyson and other NFL players who have made tens of millions of dollars and end up bankrupt or end up with nothing. And so I think this podcast today will apply to all of you who are listening. And I'm going to go through some kind of categories as far as measuring if you're living within your means or beyond your means. This podcast episode was inspired by a blog article that I read from a blog called Life's Pleasures and Struggles. And so I just want to give the author credit for that because a lot of the ideas I came up with came from her article. So living beyond our means is very common today. Overspending is a big problem. And people being able to live within their means and not stretching themselves too thin seems to be pretty rare nowadays. And so I think this is a timely topic for all of us to kind of check in with ourselves to see and make sure we're living within our means and not beyond our means. So the first thing to think about is, do you carry a balance each month on your credit card? So as we've talked about in other episodes, credit card companies are wise. They know how to rope people in. Some of them give great rewards like I've talked about before. And they can be a great tool. They offer benefits like trip insurance and rental car insurance, bonus points, upgrades in airplanes and airports. And so there's lots of really cool things about credit cards, but they also can be used poorly and can cause our financial life to go down the toilet. So if you're not paying your credit card off in full each month, then that is a warning sign that you are living beyond your means. If you're paying credit card interest monthly and not able to pay off your balance, it means that you probably are not living within your means and it might be time to consider cutting up the credit card and going to cash or debit card only option. The credit cards offer all these wonderful rewards and perks to us, but obviously they do that for a reason. They're still making millions and millions of dollars. Visa is one of the top 20 companies in the world as far as profits go and market cap weight. They're a really profitable company. So even though they offer these great rewards, they're obviously making a lot of money off people who can't pay their credit cards off in full and pay them a lot of interest. So the other one that I would mention along with that one that's very similar to it is if you're just paying the minimum on your credit card each month. As you all know, when you get a credit card statement or a bill, it tells you what the minimum is. It's usually not a high sum of money. And so if you're just paying off that minimum each month, it probably means you're living beyond your means. The next one that I thought I'd touch on is if you're using your credit card to pay for just regular bills. So this sometimes is wise if we're good with our money, but if we're using our credit card to pay for monthly utility bills, phone bills, insurance bills, and it means that we don't have enough cash in our accounts to do it, that's when it means we're living beyond our means. The next one is from this blog article I read. She talks about when you run out of money before your next paycheck. So if you get paid and you're finding that your bank account is getting very limited before your next paycheck and you're kind of waiting to get paid again, that could be a sign that we're living beyond our means. It's time probably at that time to take a step back, track our expenses, try to even out how we pay our bills throughout the month. CNBC says that 78% of full-time workers say that they live paycheck to paycheck. So that's a great majority of Americans who live paycheck to paycheck. So if you're listening to this podcast and you are one of those, it's okay. Most of us in this life have lived paycheck to paycheck during a good portion of our life. And it's hard to get out of that habit and pattern. It is important to increase the cash flow in your life, increase your income to be able to not live paycheck to paycheck. I won't be foolish and just say it's easy for anyone to do. If you're not making very much money, it's very hard not to live this way. And so the best way to get out of it is, number one, have discipline and a plan and a budget. And number two, to make more money so that it's more feasible to do that. The next topic, as far as checking in with yourself to live, seeing if you're living beyond your means, is to take a quick look at your emergency fund. How's it doing? Do you have at least 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, up to 6 months of an emergency fund? If you don't even have a month of emergency fund, it could mean that you're living beyond your means. So most emergencies cost, I would say, $500 to $1,500. And a lot of people in America do not have the money to pay that if that happens, whether it's new tires that you need or a furnace that goes out or a medical bill that pops up. Having a small emergency fund is super important to protect us from digging our hole deeper. So if you don't have an emergency fund, it probably means it could mean you're living beyond your means, and it would be time to buckle down, stop going out to eat, stop going to movies, cut things out of your budget until you have hopefully 3 months of living expenses build up in your emergency fund. So if you can just start saving a chunk out of every paycheck, maybe 10%, to put into your emergency fund, that would be really wise. And if it means not investing for a while so you can get that emergency fund in place, then so be it. It is more important. The next one to consider if you're living beyond your means is, are you saving for retirement or not? So I've known a lot of friends who have not saved for retirement during stretches of their career, yet they are going on nice vacations and living a really high-end, nice lifestyle. So if this is you, it's okay, but it's probably time to course correct. I think everyone who can should be contributing to their retirement, because there will come a day when you need to retire and you're going to need money. The more you save there, the more flexibility you'll have as you get into your 50s and 60s to be able to maybe retire earlier than 65. Or if you choose to work to 65, having a better retirement where you can live better and give more money away in your retirement years and be able to support other people and help other people and also do a lot of awesome experiences yourself. So if you're not contributing to your retirement account, it might be that you just aren't making enough money and it's tight and you're going paycheck to paycheck. But if you're the person who's not that person and you're just choosing to spend it on other things that are more pleasurable, it's time to kind of take a step back and put some money into your 401k or your Roth IRA or whatever retirement vehicle is available to you. Moving on, let's talk about some people who use a credit card for a vacation. So I use a credit card for a vacation, but in this situation, I'm not quite referring to that. I'm referring to people who don't have the cash or the cash flow possible to pay for the vacation. So they use a credit card to pay for it, thinking I'll just pay for it later. So that is a dangerous way to live. You don't want to pay interest on a vacation. then it ends up costing you way more than you paid for it. So one stat I read says that 40% of Americans don't have enough money to cover a $400 emergency. So I think in life, Instagram and Facebook has caused us to see what other people are doing for their vacations and the cool places they're going, cool photographs they put on there. And it makes us think that I need to go on a vacation. I need to go on a cool trip where I can take some pictures like that and post them on social media. And the problem is, if we can't afford it, it's just simply not worth it. Getting some positive likes and thumbs up and hearts on social media is not worth it if we're going on a vacation in debt, and it's going to make us struggle when we get back and feel terrible about the decision we made. Moving on, the next one I want to talk about is if you're struggling to make your monthly payment of rent, utilities, electrical, phone, other necessities, and you're falling behind in those debts, it could mean that you're either living beyond your means in other places, or you maybe need to get a side hustle or a second job or a better job. The next one is if you could be living beyond your means if you don't have a budget in place. So I call them spending plans. Some people call them budgets. It's important to know where your money, how much money is coming in, how much money is going out, and what categories you're spending it on. Again, I'm not an affiliate link for Personal Capital, which is an app and a website, but I do like Personal Capital a lot. They track all of my spending. I put it into categories so I can see every month how much money I made, how much money I spent, and on which categories I spent it, so that if we need to cut down on restaurants or vacation expenses or home repairs or whatever, we can be cognizant of where our money's going and we can make a plan to change it. So knowing where you're spending your money is important. It's hard for people who aren't interested in budgets and personal finance to do this, but it's super important. And it has a lot to do with the peace we feel as individuals if we know what's going on with our finances and it's not just coming in and going out and we have no idea where it went. Another thing is sometimes people will buy things on credit. That might mean we're living beyond our means. For example, if you buy furniture, electronics, other such things on credit, it's probably not a real great idea. You're probably paying a high interest rate. And you're probably paying for something that would be better if you just saved up the money. Now, if you buy a home on a loan or a car on credit, of course, that's understandable. But with both of those two large purchases, they can either make us or break us based on how much we pay. So it's important to get a good deal on whatever we end up using credit for. Because remember, when you buy a home on credit or a car on credit, we're going to end up paying way more than the original sticker price for the item. And for cars and homes, it's typically necessary, although paying cash for cars is doable, much more doable than buying a home with cash. Next one I'm thinking about that's listed also on this blog article is when we're trying to keep up with the Joneses. If we're constantly trying to take the vacation our neighbors took, or decorate our home the way our neighbors did, or drive as nice of a car as our neighbors did, I imagine this can be tough in wealthier neighborhoods. I go on walks every day, and as I walk through some of the nicer neighborhoods, I do notice that there's not too many of them driving clunker cars or having not so brand new home furnishings. Most of them live pretty well, it seems like, and hopefully it's because they can afford it and they have the money to do it and they're not putting that stuff on credit. There's probably some examples of both, but it's important to make decisions based on what brings us happiness, not on the idea of comparison and trying to keep up with our neighbors. That's a lousy way to live. It's an unhappy way to live. It's a jealous way to live. And we're all susceptible to it, including me. So make sure we keep our thoughts and feelings in check. When we notice ourselves really wanting something, maybe we can stop and pause to figure out why we want that item. And if it's to try to keep up with someone else or maintain an image, probably 9 times out of 10, the answer is to not buy that item. So the next one is if you're putting more than 30% of your income goes to your mortgage payment and your taxes and your interest, then it's probably you're getting into that realm where it might be house poor, and which means life poor. So if you're spending too much on your house, then it can lead you to not have a good emergency fund, not be able to go on vacations, not be able to cover things that pop up. So keeping your housing budget in check is a really good idea. I know this is super hard to do if you live on the coast and if you live in a real high cost of living area, but it's good rule of thumb to live by. Try to keep it below 30% of your gross income. So another idea that might mean you're living beyond your means is if you just ignore your bills and avoid them and don't look at them and don't pay attention to them and get behind on them. If you have people calling you wanting their money, that's a sign that we're probably living beyond our means and we need to stop. Don't be an ostrich where you bury your head in the sand and be aware of where you're at. And even if it's a bad situation, to tackle it, get a plan, get a mentor that can help you and put that plan in place and get out of the hole and live happily and positively on the money that you earn. The last one that's touched on in this blog article is when you're losing sleep over money. So I have been losing sleep over the last few weeks. I'm good now, but there were probably about 3 weeks straight where I was not sleeping well. It didn't have to do with money stress. It was more job-related stress. But I can empathize with people who are kept up at night, not being able to sleep because of stress. And it can be very frustrating. And so if you're up at night worrying about how you're going to pay your bills or worrying that you have too much debt or that you just don't feel financial peace, that's a sign that you might be living beyond your means and it might be time to get a plan in place, have someone help you, get together with your spouse and put a plan together to have a less stressful money life. This probably means living on less. It means spending less, but that doesn't mean less happiness. It will mean more happiness because you'll be feeling free, and financial freedom is a great feeling. When you don't owe a penny to anybody and you're on solid footing, solid financial footing, it's a great place to be. Now, sometimes to be able to live within your means and to get on top of all these issues, you're going to have to sacrifice. And that might mean picking up a second job. It might mean picking up a third job. It might mean working overtime, getting extra hours. It might be selling some things. Whatever you have to do, do it within reason. As long as it's ethical and legal, and it's not going to kill you, it's smart to do it. It's awesome to just go after it, attack it, get yourself in a positive financial place, and enjoy the peace that comes because of it. That will be it for today, you guys. I hope you enjoyed the episode. You can follow the show on Instagram, as you know, simplemoney_simplelife. You can also email me at simplemoney529@gmail.com. Please follow the show on your favorite podcast provider and leave a 5-star review if you'd be so kind. And remember, the simple life is a good life.